What is your spiritual life like? What are the things that you do that make you feel more spiritual? What are the times, what are the things that you do where you seem to be more connected spiritually? Maybe it's here at Mass. Maybe it's in the car park going home from Mass. Maybe it's listening to music. Maybe it's reading the scriptures. Maybe it's in the worship of Teze. What is it for you that makes you feel spiritual, that you sense strongly that your spiritual life is together, is making sense? Indeed, are there times in your life when you don't feel spiritual? Are there things and areas in your life when you're not even thinking about such things? Maybe it's at work, maybe it's when you're caring for your family, maybe it's when you're cooking or in the car. But if you were to put that question to Jesus, or indeed to any first century Jew, they would probably just give you a completely blank look. Because in Hebrew, in the language that Jesus spoke, in the language that the Old Testament scriptures were written in, there isn't a word for spiritual. Because for them, everything had to do with God. Every aspect of their lives was about God. So it wasn't just when they were at the synagogue that they were thinking about God. It wasn't just when they were praying that their life was spiritual. When they were at work, when they were with their families, in every single stage and aspect of their life, it was all spiritual. Because for the Jew, they remembered what had happened in the first two chapters in the Bible, the opening chapters of the book of Genesis, which begins in the beginning when God created the heavens and the earth. And he has this strong sense that out of the chaos, out of the disorder that was everywhere in the world at the time, in Hebrew it said the tohu vabohu, the chaos, the ocean of just the waters of turmoil and distress. Out of all of that chaos and disorder, God created order. And God set with just one word, the beginning of everything. And we have this constant refrain that runs through that first chapter of Genesis. And it was good. 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 And it was very good. Everything that God created, everything that God set into order, everything around us, all of life, every aspect, everything has been created by God. And it is good. Unfortunately, as a Christian people, we've tended to allow other influences and other systems of thought to come and invade our way of being. We tend to think that there are things in our lives that are spiritual, are things in our lives that are capable of being redeemed by God. And there are other things that God doesn't even enter into. And so many of us imagine that at the end of our lives, our soul will escape from our body and go to be with God in heaven. And that, in a sense, what we do with our bodies, what we do physically, doesn't impact and has no significance for our lives. But that is utterly removed and utterly foreign to the biblical way of understanding the world. If everything begins in the first two chapters of Genesis with God declaring that every single thing, spiritual and unspiritual, created, and everything that's seen and unseen, all aspects of our lives are the work of God. And all of it has been given to us to use and to be stewards with. Every aspect of our hearts and lives have been given to us to use and to allow God's creativity to flow through us. Nothing in the world is bad. Nothing in this world is not from God. It's been given to us to use and to cultivate and to be creative with. Well, if that's the way the story begins, today in our second reading, we have the way that the story ends. Everything unfolds first in Genesis 1 and 2. And everything comes to its consummation and its completion in Revelation 21 and 22. The end of the story is not of God coming down and taking us away to be with Him in heaven. The end of the story is the heavenly city, Jerusalem, representing God's very throne and God's very presence, coming down out of heaven like a bride dressed and adorned and beautiful, coming down to be with us here on earth. The end of everything is not us being taken away to play harps on a cloud. The end of everything is this amazing city coming down to express that fullness of everything that is good. And the fact that it's a city is significant because in a city we find life and culture. We go to the city to be entertained, to be amused, to be educated, to be informed, to discover music, discover art, to go to amusement parks, to go to the cinema, to go and experience that fullness of life. I mean, how many people wouldn't experience the wonder and beauty of Sydney if there was no traffic? Imagine Sydney without all of the crowds and without all of the hassles and with the public transport system that actually worked. Now, wouldn't that be a great place to be? And that's the vision that the Lord gives us, a place of beauty, a place of splendor, a place with life, a place with vitality, a place of wonder and grandeur. We sell the Christian vision so far short. We so often imagine that everything around us is just somehow tainted and corrupt. But that is not Scripture. That is not the Bible. That comes from Greek philosophy. It comes essentially from Plato and his whole vision that the world of the forms, the world of the spiritual, some vague sense that isn't bodily, that's the real world, and everything else is somehow less than perfect. It came in very early into Christian life with the whole system of thought called Gnosticism, a whole senses and systems that were essentially dualistic. St. Augustine experienced it when, as a young man, he was part of a sect that was called the Manichees. All of these systems of thought said that it was the spiritual that mattered, and what we experience in our bodies and physically was always sinful and always to be avoided. No. Scripture says every single thing is good. Everything has been created by God. All life is spiritual. All life is part of God's plan. And that's why at the end, it's that story of consummation, that story of fulfillment, that story of a feast and a wedding. And on that day, when the Lord comes, when the Lord renews creation and makes all things new, then finally, that vision that the Lord established with His people back in the book of Exodus in chapter 19, when the Lord met not just with one person, not with just a small group of people, but when the Lord revealed Himself to the whole nation, to hundreds of thousands of people gathered around Mount Sinai, when the Lord, through the person of Moses, addressed Himself to the whole nation and said, "You will be my people and I will be your God," when He covenanted Himself with the people. And again in the book of Revelation here, those words are echoed and repeated because the Lord wants to covenant Himself with us. He wants to rebuild the city. He wants to reestablish the planet. He wants to renew all creation. That's the amazing vision of our lives. That's the trajectory of the human race. That is the direction that we are headed, to be renewed and fulfilled according to the plan of God. And that's the wonder of what we are called to be. That's why the tragedy that's unfolding in the Gulf at the moment, with all that oil leaking out, with so many American states being threatened by that oil, that is a tragedy against the kingdom and the nature of God, because God told us to be stewards of His creation. God told us that we have to renew and take care of all that He has made, all that He has given us. And we as a Christian people and we as a church need to be at the forefront of everything that protects our planet and our environment for the glory and grandeur of God. We are invited to be part of that plan. We are invited to be part of that people that covenant with God. And the Lord's promise to us is that in that time, in that way, when the kingdom of heaven crashes into earth, when all things are renewed and restored according to His plan, that through that and because of that, there will be no more pain, no more crying, no more tears. That everything will be wiped away when God will finally be our all in all. That's our wonder. That's our trajectory. That's our future. So as a Christian people, let's rejoice in the great gift that the Lord has already given us. The Lord has already told us how to bring heaven to us, to establish His kingdom and His throne right here, right now. Let's gather with all His people and worship around the throne of God.